chapter 3, verse 8, an astounding verse pops up. Why Abraham and why the law? And in between the law, there was no law. But when you sinned, God kicked you out. You lost eternal life, so it didn't matter whether you're under law or not under law. If you no longer have eternal life, you've got a problem. But God had a plan. Chapter 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. There was a Scripture in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we said it. We are going to save the non-Jews also. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we have a plan. We wrote it down. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. He told Abraham, he promised Abraham, that all the nations shall be blessed in you. Not the Jewish nation alone. The Jewish nation is not in existence. All the nations shall be blessed in Abraham. In between the law and Adam. There were good people out there who had faith in God. They didn't have eternal life. They didn't know where to find eternal life. But they had faith in God. Noah found favor in the sight of God, told him to build an ark, and he built the ark, and by golly, it saved him and his family from the judgment. And then there's this guy, Abraham, who's called the friend of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He does what God wants done when God wants it done. And God promised him that all the nations shall be blessed in you. And he has no children. 75 years old. Never had any children. But God made a promise. Well, verse 10 through 14, the problem in the Galatian churches is that Jewish Christians are saying that Christ is not enough to save you. That it takes circumcision and keeping the Old Testament law in order to be right with God. The Old Testament law was a works. You have to merit what you get from God. If you ever sin, you do not no longer merit eternal life. It was a hard, cruel world. If you want eternal life, you can get it if you keep it perfectly. But then nobody could. So, but they thought in the first century that their works were earning them eternal life, a heavenly home. Chapter 3, verse 8, they were wrong in two areas. Chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, we wrote it down. And you know what the people said that day? Amen. We agree. This is the contract. If we don't keep it all perfectly, we're cursed. We're talking about possessing eternal life. That's what we're talking about. God had fellowship with Israel. I mean, God was trying to teach them something. It was the purpose of the law. But these Christians are saying to the Gentile Christians, you need to keep the law also. You can't do it both ways, though. And if you don't keep it perfectly, you're cursed. So why would anybody want to be on the Old Testament system? Why? Verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. He said, this makes no sense. It's obvious from the Old Testament that nobody can be right in the sight of God on their own efforts. And you want to know the verse? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 is quoted in Romans, Hebrews, and Galatians. Habakkuk is a prophet against the tribes down south of Judah, the people of God. And Habakkuk's crying out to God, how bad it is here. And God says, you write down a tablet. And the person that reads it needs to run. Judgment's coming at the point. And the righteous man shall live by faith. The person that reads this book and gets up and gets out of there is going to be saved. The people without faith, they're going to die in that judgment. That's what that verse means. So there ain't nobody going to be right on their own. You've got to follow the directions of God. Or you'll just get overwhelmed by judgment when it comes. Well, verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Leviticus 18, verse 5. The law is a performance-based system. You have to keep it perfectly. So there ain't nobody going to be saved following the law. Moses? You know, in today, people in all the churches around try to do it. On the cable news, there's a Joyce Myers ministry. And she's international. And it was a few years ago that she had them put signs in the yard keeping the Ten Commandments. You drive around, there's them signs. The only problem with it is, thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. We're Christians, we don't do that. So we'll just keep 9 of the 10. We'll make a token effort at it, and we'll call it good. Well, now you're under the Old Testament system. And there ain't no way you're going to be saved. There isn't any way in the world that system can help you when you're in sin. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Deuteronomy 21:23. In Israel, if you deserve capital punishment, you got capital punishment. We hung you on a tree. But there was one prohibition. You don't let that body hang there overnight. Because that fella died accursed. Accursed of God. And if you leave it overnight, it defiles the whole land. If you don't keep the law of Moses perfectly, you're cursed. You lose eternal life. But Jesus became a curse. He hung on the tree as a cursed man for the cursed under the law of Moses. And they want to take Christ plus the law? They want to go back to the curse? When Christ has redeemed them by becoming a curse? Religious ignorance. Well, he continues, verse 16 through 24. He talks about the relationship between the law of Moses and Abraham. What's the relationship here? Why Abraham? Why the law? Verse 16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say into seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. The promise God made Abraham to save the Gentiles was not made to every Jew. They assumed it was. He made it to Abraham and his seed, singular. Oh, it wasn't plural. Every Jew claims to be an offspring of Abraham. Therefore, we're children of God. We don't need to listen to Jesus in John 8. He didn't say seeds. He said seed. The only people that have eternal life promises was Abraham and Christ. No other Jew had it. No other Gentile had a promise. And, you know, we do the same thing Jews do. We assume because we're in the Church of Christ, everything's okay, then nothing else matters. I mean, we don't look real closely at what the words say. The Jews, they're out there, they're praying in public so everybody can see them. Look at my good. I'm religious. And they're giving money to the poor. They're making a big show out of it. And Jesus noticed that. He noticed the widow put in two little coins. And he said, you know what? That woman there is much better than them guys. The works. We're trying to make them acceptable to God. This is what we're Jews. We're the people of God. That's all we need. And all our works is making a better home. You know what's wrong with all of this? They try to, Jews try to chase trace their lineage to Abraham, which can be done. You know who else can trace their lineage to Abraham? If he said seeds, then the Muslims can trace their heritage to Abraham through Israel. He didn't say seeds. The promise was to Abraham and his seed, Christ. You understand what that means? There's no way you're getting back to the Garden of Eden without Christ. The promise is Christ. It's not Christ plus some law, Moses, or some law somebody dreams up. Christ has got the promise of eternal life. Well, why the law then? Verse 17. What I'm saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. The law didn't come into 430 years after God made Abraham the promise. Law doesn't change that promise. It doesn't invalidate that promise. That promise stands. He didn't promise the Jews, "We're going to give you eternal life. We promise I'll curse you if you don't keep it perfectly. If you keep it perfectly, I'll give you eternal life." And so, 430 years later, the law came in. Evidently, it wasn't to save you. It had nothing to do with the promise. Verse 19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. What did they first do when they come out of Egypt and Moses on the mountain? They were idolaters. You got to control them somehow, so we gave them a law. Why do we have speed laws? Why are they 20 miles an hour in a school zone? Because there will be a lot of knuckleheads go through their 50 or 60. You got to control the transgressors. That's what law is about. 19, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come. The law was a stopgap measure so we could use it to get to Christ. So we could trace the genealogy that this is the guy. Matthew 1 verse 1 starts with what? We start with Abraham and we head through David to Christ so you know who to eliminate. The law was to control the transgressors until Christ came. He had the promise. Nobody else had a promise. Verse 21. Is the law contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. I mean, they work hand in hand. The law and the promise. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. If there had ever been a law given that could get you right when you're guilty, you wouldn't need Christ. If you could get right once you're guilty under law, and justice is done, you don't need righteousness because you can do it yourself. But there ain't been a law given that gets you out when justice is done when you're the guilty party. Now, if you're corrupt, we can bribe and bind, but you're still guilty. The law wasn't designed to save anybody to give life to dead people. Verse 22, but the Scripture has shut up all men under sin. Well, the Jews were the people of God and they thought they were special. And they had no idea how much trouble they were in. The rest of the people on earth are just doing what they normally do, doing wrongs. God separates from them. They don't even know it. They lost eternal life. They have no hope. And something's wrong, but they don't know it. The Jews are under a law which they're taught every Sabbath. They know better. God's got them by the throat. Because they got... Do you have a verse that says, thou shalt not steal in your Ten Commandments? Well, yeah. Well, why are you stealing? And why are you arguing with me about it's not wrong? You know better. No, but the law had them. The law was purposed for to put them into sin, shut their mouth when it comes to the first century. Verse 22. But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Jews and Gentiles. Since everybody's guilty. and they have no hope outside Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus will get you eternal life. Well, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. The faith wasn't in the Old Testament system. It came with Christ. And they were held in custody. I mean, you're guilty. So we used the law to keep you, you know, they got them in a nation all by themselves there. We've got you guilty. You know, you're not going anywhere. 24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. The law, my version says, a tutor to lead you to Christ. Up until lately, it's been really hard to describe that Greek word. Some Bibles have school teacher, school master. It's a slave. It's trusted, and they put him in charge of the children. And not only give them to school, discipline them when they're wrong, get them back home. We got a word today. Nanny. If you're rich. And the parents want to travel Europe during the summer, but they don't want the kids. They hire a nanny. And the nanny is responsible for all their things in their life. That's the word. The law was the nanny. And to help us understand the law better, you hear in the news, nanny state today in America. Nanny state. All of a sudden now people are emboldened. It's wrong in New York City. You can't use trans fats. That's bad. Listen, kids. No trans fats. No salt. Nanny state. No potatoes. Like your little children. That's what the law of Moses was in the essence. Controlling people, elementary. And these Jewish Christians want to add the law back to Christianity and Christ who has the promise? Are they nuts? It was a tutor. It was not a sense, I want to teach you about English. It controlled their whole life. Don't you dare eat such things. Food laws. This is clean, this is unclean. What he was teaching, there are things that defile you in this world. You need to think about making distinctions in the life, what's clean, what defiles. There were other laws, day laws. You know, there were sacrifices. When you sin, you need to make it right. It's not right. You need to bring an animal. You need to cut his throat. It's wrong. It is costly and it's hurting somebody, and you've got to deal with it because God doesn't like it. That was what the law would teach them. Elementary. And they're trying to add the law back to Christianity. Verse 25. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Christianity is not about me controlling every little thing in your life. We have religions around May the 1st. They start calling people in. We want to see your income tax. You need to tithe this much. As if they don't have love in their heart. As if we can't trust them to do what... express their love for God on their own. No, we got to tell them because we want the money. There's a church around here. If you send in your tithe, which is under the Old Testament system, and cursed if you don't do it perfectly. If you send in the tithe, we'll keep you on the road. You still don't have eternal life, but we got your money. We're not under a tutor. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Adult sons is the Greek word. Adult. No longer minors where we have to control. I mean, the death of Jesus should mean something to people who had no hope and no promises, and now they're saved at the expense of the death of Jesus. And it doesn't mean anything to them. You see, you can have a bunch of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, and do this, do that. And you can doodly follow, you know, and think I'm earning eternal life. Without a heart being in it at all, without caring for God, one iota. And call it wonderful. But you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Whoo! God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed, Christ. The only place of salvation is Christ Jesus. And we of all people who teach baptism is essential for salvation. You know what two things we ought to know without any doubt in verse 27? That we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We are one with Him. And if that's true, we've been engulfed, enclosed with Christ. When God looks at you, He's not looking at your sinfulness, He's looking at Christ. Because your faith is in the relationship you and Christ have. It's Christ that died for the sins of the world. It is Christ who had the promise of eternal life to solve the sin problem. Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Christians. The only hope there is in all the world is Christ Jesus. The only one that has the promise. And who cares? Relationship with Jesus is critical. No matter where we're at, it's critical. You know what's worth for you? Not only are you clothed with Christ, you're one with Christ. Verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Everybody's been baptized into Christ Jesus, possesses everything everybody else possesses, all spiritual blessings. Because He had the promise. Now, you can work your way, you can come up with any scheme you want to try to overcome your sinfulness, but unless it goes through Christ Jesus, you're spitting in the wind. Because you can't get there. The Jews tried it. They're trying it here in the church. And they're getting kicked out. What else does it mean to you? Verse 29. If you belong to Christ, if you're being baptized in Christ Jesus, you're becoming one with Him. You belong to Him. You're His possession. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise. You can try to inherit eternal life for your good deeds. But on the day of judgment, what deeds are we going to discuss? We probably don't want to hear about your good deeds. On the top of the list, we're going to open books with all the bad deeds in it. And if your relationship is not with Christ, what? We're going to go down the list of your bad deeds. And the only decision going to be made is what degree of punishment you get. Now, the good deeds might, you know, negate some of the bad punishment. But they're not going to save your soul. Verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise. 2,000 years before Christ, God made a promise to Abraham. And in you, all the nations shall be blessed. He was talking about eternal salvation. Eternal life that was lost when a person sins. Oh, Jesus comes along and says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to God but through me. Peter, in John 6, Jesus says you need to eat my flesh to the crowd. Oh, we eat cannibals, and they leave. The disciples are the only ones left. And they're grumbling and murmuring about eating His flesh. And He says, also, you need to drink my blood. Jesus doesn't back off. If you want a relationship with me, it starts with you eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and you and I all know we're talking about His death on the cross. They didn't know that. And they walked away. And He turns to the apostles and asks them, do they want to go too? The relationship, if you want eternal life, is going to be between you and Jesus without anything else involved. And Peter said, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He knew Jesus had it. He didn't understand it completely. But where else can we go? And here you and I have been baptized into Christ Jesus. And have been clothed with Christ. And we're heirs of eternity. Well, there's a difference between those people who have baptized into Christ and those who haven't. One has the promise, others don't. Sometimes we don't look on the church and the members of the church to the degree of respect we should. Sometimes we don't look at our lives to the degree of who we are and what's at stake and how we approach things. You need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.